Hello again.
The microphone's not working.
Why isn't it working?
I'm joking.
Right, spent ages working that one out.
Yeah, it's in system sounds.
Yes, I was doing systems
analysis
rather than output.
Well, that's silly.
Yes, it was. I couldn't hear anything. Hello, Mary. Is Mary on?
I don't know. I'll try to add her. Where is she? I can't find the window. Oh, there it is.
Is that magic star?
No, the magic and star. Oh, Mary's there, but I can't hear her.
Hello.
Hello.
You were just making so much noise, I couldn't get a sound in edgewise.
I see Matthew and Reese appear to be online.
Matthew's
what's going on there, then?
Well, they're all waiting to contribute, by the looks of it.
Okay, well, if they are, I'll phone them. Didn't expect this. I'm not complaining.
Well, I'm a bit surprised your post this morning saying we're going to do it for every doctor. I was like, oh.
No. That was me. I'm doing it for every doctor.
Oh, you're doing it. Yeah. Okay.
I can't seem to add the classic
doctors? I thought we were just limiting it to the new.
Are we?
Yeah. You're not. No, it was all of them and everybody, wasn't it? Didn't we say that last week?
It was just your personal top three ever Doctor Who stories.
Yes. Ever.
I thought we were limiting it to
No, we'd already done that last week. We did that last week.
Well, then I'm not prepared.
Oh, well, we could just limit it to the new.
No, we can't, because you did that last week.
I promised
everyone it would be all time. But, Mary, don't worry, if it's on top of your head, you can still...
You just did the favorite of every season. You didn't do, the top three.
That'll be a 5 second show. And our favourite top three episodes of the new series. Oh, that one. Okay, and that's the end of the show this week. Hello,
that's
Matthew.
Pretty much what we came up with. We were doing it on the fly.
Hello, Matthew. I can't believe it's Matthew Kressel. Oh my god, magic. Matthew Kressel. So exciting. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
It's wonderful. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to hear you. Well, I can. I just did, actually.
Well, thank you, Adam.
Oh, amazing. Oh, great. Thank you.
And I just have to warn you, I'll be leaving the podcast about 40 minutes early because I have to get into work early.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
I take it you're confident we're going to stretch this out to 2 hours. Yeah. Right, hang on. I'd like to know why Mr. What's his name again? Mr. Parton. Oh, he's on there to call now. Oh, I'm just curious.
Icon has gone red. I don't know why.
Oh dear. Oh dear. He's not very happy with me then. I shouldn't have done that. He's going to get cross, isn't he? Because I didn't see his icon turn red until you said his icon. I'm not calling you to test your bloody sound. Okay, right. I suppose we could get on, bearing in mind.
I like
your
new picture, Deb.
Thanks. Hey? I thought I'd better change it to something more in keeping.
New picture. Hang on. I haven't seen this new picture. Maybe Delrose. Mm-hmm. Right, that's
well, instead of the Zelda icon, it's the Teledoctors.
Debbie Melrose, that's you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, that's a picture of you with Isla and an owl.
Mm.
Is that the one you want
to change?
The icon keeps changing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, race. I don't know. He doesn't want to be on, though. Obviously, it's something misunderstanding on my part. Okay, so I suppose we could indeed crack on if I can straighten my microphone out. Talking of microphones, what does everybody think of Debbie's microphone? It's technically my mic. Isla likes it.
Isla likes it very much. Yeah.
Is it a new microphone?
It's my microphone.
It's his microphone round at my house.
Yeah. Okay.
My superfluous microphone, my old podcasting microphone, the microphone I bought specifically for podcasting, which now I don't
it's
need.
It's a very classic looking one, I must say.
It's very good as well.
Yeah,
I bought it from Maplin's many years ago.
Maplin's.
Yeah, that's when I moved on from using video cameras to record the sound and decided to use a proper podcasting microphone. And then I found this portable device last year, which is even better. So, but it's still a good mic. It's a good mic. Anyway, right.
I should be able to come to you next week instead.
Oh.
So we'll see what's going
good,
on.
Excellent. Right.
Do you know if Ben's going to be joining us?
Yes,
he
is going to be joining us at some point. he says, and hang on, and I quote: "Don't worry, Matthew, because there won't. I don't think there's going to be much mentionings of who's the producer of this series, Moffat. That's one. We're just having a Doctor Who geeky outy type thing today. So he says about 10:45. What's that funny noise? I can hear a fan going. Has somebody got a fan going?
I think it's probably my laptop. I'm going to use the inbuilt microphone because my old microphone, as you may recall, died around back in August, and I still have not invested in a new microphone yet.
So maybe I should have sent the microphone I gave to Debbie to you then.
if it will work on this side of the pond, you are more than welcome.
It probably will. It's only a USB microphone. Anyway, right.
Services@book1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 248. I'm Adam, and with me this week is not Kirby Bartlett Sloan, but we have got a great substitute in Matthew Kressel.
He's back, and it's about time.
Absolutely. Mary Lang.
Oh.
Pardon? It went oh. Was there a hell before the O?
Hello, hello.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
Okay, I think I accidentally turned my microphone off.
You silly woman. And... Rhys Parton's just appeared! My God, this is amazing! Rhys Parton. We're saying hello at the moment, Ray, so you just rejoin us in a hello, hello, hello. And with my microphone, but not with me, Debbie Melrose.
Hello.
Oh, my.
Oh, like it. Nice microphone.
We're going to have some fun this week. Right. somebody came up with the idea last week of just doing a bit of our favourite episodes thing. Now, don't worry if you can't. Basically, it doesn't have to be cast in stone. You can today's favourite episodes could be next week's least favourite.
Oh yeah,
you see. So off the top, yes, yeah. Exactly. So off the top of your head today, it's a bit of a talking point, isn't it? But
ooh, Adam, you are really breaking up for me. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, same here.
Oh dear. Mm. Fortunately, I don't break up for myself. I'll tell you what I'll do because I've got loads of windows open. I'll close some windows down. Bear with me. And I'll print off this sheet, because that's the reason why I got Pages open. For those of you who don't know what Pages is, it's a word processing program for the Mac. I'll print that list off.
Oh, I know.
I'll just print off this list. Close down Pages. Close down something else. Oh, yeah.
Slick.
Book off. It's not my fault. I need to get more memory for this Mac. It's only got 4 gigabytes. Or is it megabytes? I can't remember now. I think it's gigabytes. So. Thank you, Matthew. So I need to get some more memory for it. Or either that or a new Mac. I'd rather just get more memory because it's cheaper. Right, I'm just printing this off.
We've got no memory. Another.
The printer's asking for more magenta ink, which you can't have. Right, page one's
very
printed.
Very specific.
And page two is just about to pop out. Can you hear it printing? Anyway, printing on the podcast.
Yes.
Right, so that's going to be close. Am I sounding a bit better yet?
Slightly.
Yes. You sound a little bit like you're down a tunnel, but you're not breaking up.
Okay, well, that's...
Well, he is. Right.
iBooks author is now closing down.
That's where I slept him, was down a tunnel.
All I've got open now is Safari and Skype. Is that any better? Oh, and my calendar program. I suppose I could close that down. iCal. I like iCal. It's very useful. Right, now all I've got open is Safari and Skype. Do I sound any better?
Oh, yes.
So this
sound a bit like you're down a tunnel.
So basically, I'm suffering from Kirby Bartlett Sloan syndrome at the moment. Right. This top three favourite stories thing. I've expanded on it because I like doing lists, you see. I think we all should also consider doing lists of our least favourites as well, which I haven't done. It's okay. Much easier doing favourites, isn't it? So
that would just end up in a stand-up rowing.
Will it?
Yeah.
Least favourite, gunfighters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's not my least. It's one of my least favourites, along with
gunfighters, dominators, mutants,
Sensorites, planet, web planet.
No, I don't mind the Sensorites.
You don't mind Sensorites?
I don't mind
the Black Spot. Oh dear, Black Spot. Fear her comes up in it quite a lot, but I've had lots of Black Spots. Funny enough.
Oh, Debbie, get it checked out.
Okay, right then. So
Delta and the Bannerman.
Yes, we could. No, I like Delta Milano. We might get into an argument over that. Right. So, what I'm going to do, I don't know whether you can, off the top of your heads, access lists of stories via talking of Hartnell and Troughton and Bertram through and Baker internet. And Davidson through the internet. Indeed, if you can manage to do that without slowing down your computer.
My phone is ringing. I haven't won a trivia contest for cash prizes at conventions before. Anyway,
hang on, my phone, my boss is calling. I'll be back in a minute.
What? Some things never change.
Oh, goodness. It's going to be a lot of editing, this one, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you kidding? I think he's given up on editing months ago.
That's true.
So, who here has the Doctor Who Season or Series 8 DVD box set?
It's not out here in the US yet, I don't think.
Okay. For those of you who have it and have seen the extras may know a name, may be familiar with the name Rob Lloyd. And if you are, he's an Australian comedian who's been involved in various Doctor Who things. And the next one he's involved in is a live show on Thursday, which I will be doing, where we're reviewing Season or Series 8 of Doctor Who.
Cool.
And I just got off a Skype call with him and Sandro, who is the other host, where we were organizing that. So that's quite cool.
All right.
And Sandro will plug the show, plug the 20 Megabyte podcast.
And the podcast is called Who's the Man? Which podcast is
no.
it?
No. It's Sandro's podcast, Voyages in the TARDIS.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll post a link on the Facebook group, but also he'll mention this show. So Adam should be happy because we'll get a plug.
Yeah. Speaking of editing, I'm finally catching up on editing episodes of Stories from the Vortex that we recorded back in November. November ended up being hectic between my birthday, work, Chicago TARDIS, and my last minute decision that I was going to write a novel in a month. Which I did, down to the wire with a whole 24 hours to spare, but I wrote the thing.
Some people take years to write a novel, and you did it in a month.
Well, it's novel length. I don't know if it's actually a novel, but it is definitely novel length.
I'm still writing mine since I was 16, and I'm 37 in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
A couple of years will go by where I don't hit it, and then I'll hit it for a couple of times. Mm. And that's it. I have a publisher going, come on, finish it. So, all right.
You still have a publisher waiting for it, huh?
I do, yes.
Mm. It's called a printer.
All this time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to print it, just going to go, finally. And we went bankrupt years and years ago, and we're not going to pay you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to print it, it'll be an ebook.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
This is Sylvester McCoy, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I think everybody can probably hear you chewing, darling.
Thank you.
Stop.
That's right. Bye-bye. Oh, now the dogs have gone in the other room. For God's sake. Right. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, I'm back now. Sorry. Let me carry on if you need to carry on.
We weren't plugging our podcasts or anything.
You weren't. Not plugging your podcast. That's right.
Well, we're plugging a podcast that would be plugging this podcast, so it should be okay.
That's fine. Talk about podcasts, Reese. How are you doing with podcasts? Are you sort of semi-retired on that front, or?
I can start doing it again now that I'm on break between my years at university.
And
our
podcasts are your own ones.
This one I've finished. Who is the man? I just ran out of time.
Did you do a last episode, or did you just grind to a halt?
I just sort of ground to a halt because I got told by Libsyn that if I didn't pay them, I wouldn't be able to release another episode, and I'm quite tight on money and I couldn't pay them. So
that is a problem with podcasting, paying for people, and that's why we have sponsors.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about later. Right, so are we? If you've finished what you're talking about, I can actually return to what I was supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I have elaborated, because I do like to elaborate, on my favourite three stories of each Doctor. If you're able to join in on this, I'll be very pleased, but I don't expect you, I know, Mary, you're not that clued up on
Hartnell. Three stories from each Doctor?
If possible.
I can't
the modern ones.
Right.
For me,
how many Hartnells have you watched? No, then we'll end up with at the end of it, three, three favourite stories. Have you watched many Hartnell stories, Mary?
I think so. I haven't seen them all, but good. I've seen lots of them.
Okay, so what are the top three that stick in your mind? They don't necessarily have to be in order, but that would be helpful if they were. So what would you say would be your favourite Hartnell story?
Oh, wait. My favourite or my top three?
top three, if possible.
Okay. Every time we're about to say something, it sounds like it all changes. Well, I mean, I would pick like the first episode of Unearthly Child.
Just the first episode, not the rest of it.
Oh, God, yes. The rest of it's a bit of a drag.
Three episodes of Intertribal Politics and the Quest for Fun.
Yeah. I would pick the Aztecs.
Yeah.
Let me think. I'm not very fond of the Hartnell era, so...
Yeah, I thought you might have a problem with it.
Yeah. The Romans, maybe?
Yeah. Cracking stories. I mean, as far as other stories that aren't viewable, that I've listened to, as far as listing goes, I'd say that right up there is Marco Polo. It's probably, as far as Hartnell goes, the best audio story that I've heard. I'd love to see that one in its, you know...
Only gone partway through the reconstructions that they've shown, so...
Okay. Matthew, what do you think?
Let's see here, off the top of my head, I think we established a while back when we reviewed it that Dalek Invasion of Earth is my favorite of the surviving Hartnell stories.
Yes.
Going from there and getting into the stuff that only survives on audio and that we have reconstructions of...
Well, you can certainly use those, not a problem.
Okay. Then I can definitely say The Massacre would be my second favorite Hartnell story.
Yeah.
Third one, this is the tough one, because like Mary, I am not hugely fond of the Hartnell era. There's stories in there I absolutely love, and there's stories in there I can live without, and as will come as no surprise to anybody whatsoever, I really prefer the Hartnell era through a certain small British company nobody has ever heard of called Big Finish.
Yes.
Let's see here, a third story, probably Keys of Marinus.
Another cracker. Yes.
Yeah, very. Absolutely. You know, I think we were sort of divided in our opinions about it when we reviewed it, but like it. You know, it's fun, which I think is the important thing, and it doesn't drag despite being six episodes.
Yeah, I really do like the Keys of Marinus. I have to agree with you. Was that it? Was that three?
Yeah, well, I think that was three.
Yeah, cool. Reese, have you got any knowledge of the First Doctor?
Very limited knowledge, but the two I've seen, I chose very well-renowned stories, or ones that my friends liked at least. Yeah. I'll agree with Mary, the first episode of An Unearthly Child. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the best episodes of Doctor Who ever.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And an iconic piece of television, too. But also The Edge of Destruction, too. I quite liked that.
Oh, yes. Another cracking story.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
It's a very strange story.
The only two that I've seen, but I liked them both.
A very innovative story, that one.
I didn't think about Edge of Destruction, but that is a very good pick. And for my money, the best of those first three.
Yeah.
Just simply because it's very self-contained. It's very focused on developing the characters rather than being... three episodes of Intertribal Politics and the Quest for Fire, or you end up with that first Dalek story, which is actually three stories trying to be one story, which I don't think quite works as well as a lot of people think it does, but I'm just rambling, so...
No, that's brilliant stuff. Debbie?
Mm-hmm?
What do you reckon, Hartnell?
Hartnell, I'm not really seeing that many. I've only really watched them since joining the podcast, so... Yes... But I do remember, and I have watched many times, An Earthly Child, the first episode especially. Yeah. I also had that in the book and audio when I was little. So, that's up there. I also like the first ever Dalek one. I can't remember the name.
The Daleks?
It escapes me. You've already said it. Yeah, and I love that one. And because it's iconic.
Oh, yeah, and it's the reason why Doctor Who's still here as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've since gone back and watched that one where you first meet Polly and,
The War Machines.
Yeah. I have watched that again because my husband wanted to watch it again because he'd heard me laughing. And I watched it again and I actually really, really enjoyed it. So, that was up there again, definitely. was the first time I watched it, I was a bit like, oof, not sure, but no, watched it again. The idea was pretty good.
Yeah, I love that, apart from the Doctor Who is required bit. Yeah. Other than that, it's great.
Doctor Who!
Yeah, really good.
Doctor, come on, who is required?
I quite like the Romans as well, but that's just because we did that, and it was rather funny having Nero running around chasing... chasing Barbara down.
Okay, I suppose it's my turn now. Well, my choice is I go along with Matthew with Keys of Mariner, so I actually forgot about that because I was trying to do it off the top of my head. I had written down the Romans, but I actually do prefer the Keys of Mariner. Romans is a cracking story too. Chase was another one. Again, it's a bit of a... It's a bit like Keys of Marinus in the way that there's lots of different locations.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
Lots of different locations. It's a very different type of Cadillo story. There's some rather horrendous performances in it by certain people.
Yeah.
And don't get me started about a certain actor playing a character from Alabama. Did not get me started.
No, I thought that might upset you. But as a story, I really like it. And the arc is my favourite Hartnell, simply because, again, it's they've never done this within one story. They've done half... at one time period, have landed in the same place and 500 years later and done the other half. Great story, the arc. I like that.
Oh, could I just mention another one? I just remembered another one that I've seen.
Yes.
The Time Meddler. I quite like that one too.
Another good one, yeah. So there are a few good Hartnell stories that we'll be looking forward to in the new year. Right, so we move on to Troughton then. Mary, have you watched any Troughtons?
Well, you know, there's not a lot of Troughtons out there to watch. of the ones I've seen, I'd have to go like with the Mind Robber.
Yeah.
And Tomb of the Cybermen. I really like that one.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy the Dominators, just because it's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but yeah, it's good fun. go on. Reese, have you watched any Hartnell? Oh, Troughton, sorry, not Hartnell.
Troughton. Yes, I have. And it's a tie between Matt Smith's favourite story, The Tomb of the Cybermen, and The Mind Robber. I like them both quite equally.
Okay.
They're very good.
Good. And what about you then, Matthew?
Well, supposing we're throwing in the missing episodes that only survive on audio into the mix, it's got to be Power of the Daleks.
That's
the
another good
spot.
One. Yeah, absolutely. Love to see that one.
I will pay good money if somebody ever finds that thing to finally get to see the thing, because it sounds brilliant on audio. And the clips and the telesnaps that we have make it look like it was a brilliant story. Yeah. And this is one of those things I'd love to actually see what it actually looked like in its entirety.
Yeah.
Going on from there, I too am going to be drawn to Tomb of the Cybermen and to The Mind Robber.
Yeah.
Uber traditional on one hand, and then very strange and unusual on the other. So
yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the War Games. I thought the War Games was wonderful to watch.
Have you watched all of that?
Long, but wonderful.
Cool. Debbie,
Tomb of the Cybermen is really up there for me, and I've heard The Power of the Daleks as well, but they're really the only two that I am properly aware of. The others I've sort of just seen pictures of or heard clips from.
Well, you've got something to look forward to then, haven't you?
Yeah, no, I have. I haven't really looked back into Second Doctor. So, it's something to do, definitely.
There's something I spotted about my choices for the Hartnell era, that both, two of the stories are written by Terry Nation. But hey, I'll go for me Troughtons then. Number three, Enemy of the World. And it's nice to be able to say we've seen it now. Cracking story. Number two, Tomb of the Cybermen. I never used to like it, but it's grown on me quite a lot over the years. And number one, War Games. It's just phenomenal. And also the fact that it moves us into the modern sort of era of Doctor Who, where we discover a certain fact about the Doctor himself. So that's my three Troughtons. So Pertwee's then, Mary.
The Pertwee is also not a favorite of mine.
This is going to be interesting.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah. Well, I might pick The Demons.
Yeah.
Inferno, because that's a real interesting story.
Yeah.
Wow. It's hard to come up with a third. Maybe Spearhead from Space, just because it was a new introduction to him and all.
It's great in HD.
Is it?
You said it's in HD.
No, I said it's great in HD. It does give it a bit of something extra.
Yeah, there's a Blu-ray of it because it was the only classic series story that was filmed entirely on film. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Reese.
Well, I've only seen three.
Have you? Oh, that'll be them then.
although I will choose my favourite out of them. I've seen The Ambassadors of Death, The Demons, and The Green Death. And I have to say that Ambassadors of Death is my favourite.
Oh, yeah, that's another brilliant story. I mean, all three of them are really good ones. So you watch some good ones there.
Mm.
Matthew?
Well, this is going to be tough because... Pertwee's my second favorite Doctor, and probably my favorite era overall. I have a feeling I'm just going to go down Pertwee's first season, just pick three. Inferno's going to be in the top spot. It's a really interesting story. The whole parallel universe, parallel Earth thing in it, I think really is just... I know it's been done to death and it's become a cliche now, but it is really done well there. Mm-hmm. And sort of Doctor Who kind of being ahead of the game. I think only really Star Trek had really done it at that point.
Yeah.
And there's a short story that's bugging me. I can't think of what it's called. It was really the beginning of the whole parallel universe genre. Ambassadors of Death, which is, you know, it's Doctor Who meets James Bond meets Quatermass, so I've just hit all three of my favorite things in one go, and I can imagine Mary's ripping her hair out right now.
Yep, yes, I am.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be no comment for a second.
Well, that's what I thought.
I didn't know if you wanted me to comment or not, so...
number three. Ooh... Silurians, maybe?
Well, I say Ambassador's Death is something, although for me it's slightly too long. I do really like it simply because it's got a strange atmosphere to it. There's something about it, you know, that's different that I really like. And there's a couple of other Pertwee stories that isn't in my top three that I really like Invasion of the Dinosaurs, which I couldn't pick simply because of the absurdity of the dinosaurs themselves in it. But as a story,
that's
I really
traditional
like it.
In Who now, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you know, they're a little bit too absurd, even at the time. a little bit too absurd. But, yeah. Debbie?
I really like The Demons.
Mm-hmm.
The Silurians are definitely up there because I thought they were a great idea. It's a shame costumes let them down. But, you know, I just found that because they looked so terribly, you know, twee, but they the story I really enjoyed, and I really quite liked Inferno as well. Definitely.
Okay. Well, mine is a complete departure from all your suggestions. My third favourite was Death to the Daleks, simply because I loved the idea of the Daleks having no weapons, so they had to install, you know,
is that
mechanical
the one with
guns.
The really pathetic music?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I something about again. I love that story. My second favorite,
unmenacing Dalek theme.
Yes,
ever.
It was awful. Yeah, we'll take that out and put a new theme in. It might be better. I don't know. But my second favorite is Planet of Spiders. For me, it's one of the best six-parters ever. It just has a great pacing to it. Apart from one episode where they do a really weird cutback to the cliffhanger and then add loads of other bits to it before coming to the part, and that's the bit where Tommy gets sort of attacked by the people with the spiders on their backs. But on the whole, it's a cracking story, and a great, or certainly one of the best regeneration stories ever. And my first favourite, and it's, I know you're going to scoff at it, but The Three Doctors. I just love The Three Doctors.
Oh, yeah.
That's
well,
not
funny.
A bad pick.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, that's it, really. So, moving into this is going to be a difficult one. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Tom Baker. Go on in, Mary. Have a go at it.
Okay. I think my first favorite might be Robots of Death.
Ooh, brilliant.
You know, do not show the hand at me.
Yeah, no, do not throw hands. Do not throw hands at me.
Well, Talons of Wang Chiang. Who can dislike that one?
Exactly.
It's always the third one that sticks me.
That's what she said.
Some things never change.
How true.
Well, it's Mary, Matthew.
Okay. I'm looking at a list here and trying to think of which sticks. Okay, I'll go with Pyramids of Mars.
Wow. Three crackers there from Mary.
Okay.
Colin and Reese. I'm sure you've seen some Tom Bakers, haven't you?
Yeah, I've seen plenty of Tom Bakers, which is making it harder for me to choose. Talons of Wen Cheyang. Can I just agree with Mary, because they're great?
You can if you wish.
What else is there? I'm just trying to think about what else I liked, because...
Ditto.
Legopolis was good, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is tricky. This is very tricky.
I thought it might be.
Yeah, there's so much that is good.
So, actually, Ark in Space, Talons of Wang Chiang, and Pyramids of Mars.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
Might be easier to pick ones that you don't like, really.
That is easier.
Matthew. Yeah, I know, a lot of women. Matthew, what do you think?
The problem with Tom Baker is there's not one Tom Baker era. There's three Tom Baker eras, you know, in 7 years.
Yeah.
You get, you know, the Hinchcliffe era, you get the Graham Williams era, you get that last year of season 18, and you get three very different Tom Bakers in each of those eras. Let's see here. Can I narrow it down to just one from each? Genesis of the Daleks is my all-time favorite news story.
Yeah, cool.
So that's going to be my top favorite. It just has to be.
Has to be mentioned.
City of Death.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, cracking script, a really good story. Douglas Adams writing great dialogue, but having somebody else's plot so the whole thing sort of hangs together.
Yeah.
And go for an unorthodox thing, and actually feeling bad skipping the entire season 18, but I have a great affection for Androids of Tara.
Yeah.
For some reason, I've always liked that story from the. It was one of my early Tom Bakers I saw, and I've always enjoyed it.
Yeah, it is good fun.
That's actually an interesting point you mentioned, that there were three different Tom Bakers with the different head writers, and I thought we actually haven't seen that in New Who. So I hope, I hope Moffat leaves while Capaldi's still the Doctor, so that we could have a new head writer writing for him, and we could see if he evolves.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, yes.
I'm not saying Ken Moffat go right away. I hope he just leaves while Capaldi's still in the role, so we could see an evolution.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Moffat, I don't like you, because I do.
Apparently.
Well, that does he? Well, that makes it sound like he's going to. If Capaldi's been signed up for the next two series, that he's still going to be there.
Yeah. I would be surprised if Moffat sticks around much longer beyond this next season. I could see him maybe sticking around to the end of season 10, and then he ties RTD's record for staying on the show. And presumably Capaldi following in everybody else's footsteps does three seasons and ends up leaving. I can see that happening.
The thing is with Capaldi is he doesn't have to. He's had a career elsewhere. Yeah. He's a massive fan. Yeah. He's got the dream job. He can stay.
I'm thinking, he probably would like to, you know, beat the records of the previous New Doctor.
He's this era's Tom Baker.
Yeah.
I was about to say that. I hope he is.
He could be.
Because he's fantastic. Yeah. Just a shame the stories weren't very strong.
Oh, some of them were really
good. Yeah. Totally agree.
Okay.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, we'll agree and disagree.
Right then, Debbie.
The stories are great.
Debbie. Oh, were you finished, Matthew? I got sidetracked.
I think so. I listed my three,
Debbie, what do you reckon?
Genesis of the Daleks, Pyramids of Mars, and I have, as when we reviewed it, I told everybody then, State of Decay is my greatest soft spot in the whole of that era. My mum bought it for me on cassette when she knew I was into Doctor Who. It was the one thing she found on cassette. I still have them. I still listen to them while I'm cooking in the kitchen. it's like a comfort blanket of Doctor Who. If I go, it's my go-to. It back to front.
Like a long scarf of Doctor Who.
Exactly, yes. It translates better onto audio and into book form, definitely. Yeah. It's with Tom Baker narrating it, you are just shivering because it is so creepy. But when you see it on TV, it is just hamming and and scenery chewing. But yeah, it's when you hear him reading it, it really is a strong story.
Mm, it's funny you should say that, because when I was at school, I remember doing art lessons and never having seen Planet of Spiders, and there was a Doctor Who magazine in the art art room, and in that magazine were pictures of Elizabeth Sladen with a spider on her back, and a cartoon drawing of the regeneration. Yeah. And I was really desperate. Ooh, that's, earth is
that's
that?
Me. That's me.
I was really desperate to see the regeneration, so they weren't going to show it. So I got the book and read the book, and the book was amazing. And then I got to see the story, and I liked both equally. But the book is really good. The book of Planet of Spiders, excellent stuff.
Yeah.
So you've done, haven't you, Debbie? I'll move on then to my choices. Yeah. Now, these are slightly unorthodox compared to yours. I know some people will remember who my favourite Tom Baker stories were, but as you might not remember, Logopolis is number three, simply because it was the story that got me turned me into a Doctor Who fan. City of Death, number two, and number one, Pirate Planet. There's a bit of a Douglas Adams theme in there, I know, but those are them. No, that's quite brief, but they're both...
Can I make an honourable mention for Stones of Blood, too? Because that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely an honourable mention for that one. Mary Tam. Right, so...
Oh, yeah.
move on to Peter Davison. Mary, have you seen many Peter Davison stories?
Not that many, amazingly enough. I'm looking at this list, and a lot of the titles I really haven't seen.
Ooh, something for you to look forward to, then.
But the ones that spring to mind as ones that had, you know, positive impact on me were Kinda, because it's so unusual. I really like unusual stories.
Yeah.
And Earthshock, because it got rid of Adric.
I love the way that's the first thing people go for when they mention that
story. No, Earthshock was also a good story, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, the going wisdom is, and then it got rid of Adric. And I'm going to guess the King's Demons. I kind of like that one,
lovely.
Too.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Excellent. Reese.
I'm trying to think about what I've seen. I haven't seen much either.
Mm-hmm.
My favourite is possibly Caves of Androzani.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Resurrection of the Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because it's the only other one I've seen, Black Orchid.
Excellent stuff. Adric's in that one.
It's quite fun.
Yeah.
Matthew.
Earthshock is going to be in the top spot. I am terribly traditional.
Yeah.
it kills off Adric. it's a brilliant Cyberman. It's a brilliant Cyberman story. It must be said, it is an absolutely brilliant Cyberman story. It really reestablishes them, given that they basically disappeared from Who for a while, and after Revenge of the Cybermen, who can blame them? Modern Undead, very much a story that's ahead of its time in terms of particularly its wibbly wobbly timey wimey vintage 83. It's got the Brigadier in it, which is absolutely lovely. Number because I'm not a big Davison fan. I mean, we're going to be even more fun with Colin Baker, because in both the cases of both of them, if I want stories from them, I go and I pull my Big Finish audios off the shelf.
That's a really good point, actually.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of surprised, because Davison is a favorite of mine for TV, but I didn't realize how few of his stories I've actually seen.
It's amazing if you think about it, especially if you've not watched a lot of the Davison and Colin Baker stories, and you've mainly been listening to Big Finish. Colin Baker is a completely different world on Big Finish. He's probably one of the best doctors.
Right.
So, yeah, good point. Sorry, I interrupted you then, Matthew, didn't I?
I'm trying to think of a number three. I'm almost tempted to go in the other room and go take a look at my DVD shelf, because it's probably the only way I'm going to think of something. Five Doctors, was the story that made me a fan.
Oh, right.
And it's a really good kind of amalgamation and celebration of the show's first 20 years, and before the show, everything kind of went downhill from the Five Doctors. So I think the Five Doctors is kind of the last moment of the show kind of grasping at any kind of greatness before things start going downhill.
Well, that's quite interesting that you say that's what made you a fan. Logopolis made me a fan. And obviously that therefore leads to Davison being, as I would call him, my doctor. Does anybody else have any stories that they could say specifically turn them into a fan?
Yes, but much later on.
Go on, yeah. Then. What was yours then, Reese?
I would obviously go for Rose because that was the first real story that I saw and at least can remember what happened. Because there were some repeats on the ABC of Tom Baker's stories, but I can't remember which one it was. So when I go and watch it, I'll go, Eureka! That was it! but Rose was certainly a good introduction to it. But I think the moment I knew that I was going to stay with Doctor Who forever was when I saw Dalek. Yeah. And I thought, this is one of the most iconic creatures on television being introduced to my generation. This is exciting. I've heard that they can't fly, although that was wrong, obviously.
Yeah.
But then I saw it flying and I thought, oh, wow, they're really scary now. So I was really hooked then.
Get off.
Sorry, Debbie.
Sorry, my cat's on my microphone. Get off me.
Does she have a favourite Doctor Who story?
What, the cat?
Yeah.
It's probably... Mary, is there anything, any stories that initiated your Doctor Who fandom?
Well, the funny thing is although I was aware of the classic, because I had seen it, it never really grabbed me then. And I was way into the new, or it was well into the new era before I had a daughter watching the Vampires of Venice. And when I idly asked her, I said, oh, what are you watching? That looks like fun. She says, it's Doctor Who. I said, this is Doctor Who? And I sat down and was mesmerized by that story, which then sent me, you know, back to the beginning to watch, or the beginning of, you know, like the Eccleston era. And working my way up, and I was completely hooked then. So
that reminds me of a story that happened with me recently at university. There's this common room area where there's a great big television and a whole lot of beanbags and couches. So a few of us went there to watch Time Heist. I had someone who isn't a Doctor Who fan, but he's an acquaintance, was there, and he looked over and he said, what are you watching? That looks really cool. And I said, well, it's Doctor Who. And he went, really? The effects have come on a lot more. But he was talking about since Eccleston, because I actually have to agree, the latest episodes have looked incredible compared to stuff like even Eccleston and early Tennant.
It just shows you how far even CGI has come along in a decade since those episodes were made.
Absolutely.
And he was it was right at when the teller had turned that guy's brain into soup at the beginning of the episode, and he was hooked from then on, so I thought, there you go, we might have another fan.
Excellent. Debbie, have you got anything that initiated your madness?
Madness? No, because I can't remember not watching Doctor Who. Doctor Who was on in my house from the minute I was born. There was Doctor Who on in our house. My dad watched it devotedly. So there wasn't anything that really stood out other than I can remember the first time I saw the Dalek and Daleks, and I can't remember which episode it was, but it was Tom Baker. And I can remember leaping behind the sofa in the traditional manner, and my mum took a picture of it.
Oh, you'd have to find that picture and stick it on the website.
I saw it when I was up there, and I meant to scan it.
Oh, please do, please do. I want to say website. I'm in the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. That would be cracking.
The thing about Doctor Who, though, that I think is rather incredible is that it's so iconic that even if you haven't really seen the show, you can identify a Dalek straight away.
Or
even when I was younger and I hadn't seen Rose or the repeats, and somebody, one of Dad's old friends was called Tom Baker, and when he talked about him, I thought, hang on, isn't that like that guy from the TV show, you know, that time travel show? And I just knew about it, even though I hadn't really seen it. So it's so iconic that it's kind of just in our culture, really.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I was watching Dalek stories when I was very, very young, simply because we were sort of on the playground in my primary school, and sort of the reception year, probably age about four or five, walking around there going, exterminate, I am a Dalek. And therefore, that I know that the story that was on at that time was A Day of the Daleks. So that would have been, I wouldn't remember watching it originally, but I must have seen it. Anyway, we're moving back to...
The fun I've been having is going back and watching the classic episodes. It's funny that, you know, I'll recognize several of them, you know, as they play out, because Debbie says that it was always on because her dad was always watching.
Yeah.
Well, it was on a lot in my house because my brother watched it. So there's a lot of episodes that I just kind of saw in passing that now when I see them, you know, for the, you know, in quotes, first time, it's like, oh, no, I've seen this one before. Oh. So it's kind of fun to discover those.
Yeah.
There's a great story there. I've had that experience. Oh, sorry, Reese, go ahead. As we've talked about before, I encountered some Tom Baker stories on BBC America back in 2000. And it was 7 years later when I found The Five Doctors and started getting into the show. And I'd just be sitting there going, oh, I've seen this before. Years and years ago, Planet of Evil and Pyramids of Mars and Seeds of Doom, which I had really strong memories of watching sitting on my parents' couch at like 7:30 in the morning. So, you know, it's a bit like that deja vu experience, which I guess it's a time travel show, which is kind of appropriate.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, there's a great story that Jean Riddler on Staggering Stories tells that after she was born, she was pretty much taken home and her brothers watched the show. And they're a few years older than her. And she remembers tiny bits of the Tomb of the Cybermen from when she was just, you know, starting to think and starting to see things. And she sees bits like it was either the Doctor's leg being caught by the Cybermen or the Cybermen just walking along. And she remembers little glimpses of it from when she was really young. And she gets that now when she watches it again. So from the, you know, from the beginning, she's been a fan too.
Oh, that's lovely.
Anyway, that's quite fun.
Moving back to Peter Davison favourites, Debbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favourite Peter Davison's.
Oh crikey!
Is that a, oh crikey? Are there favourites? I don't remember that one. Which one's the favourite?
Well, the Five Doctors really does stand out for me. I remember it, and I'm not sure.
Oh.
I wasn't. It's really, I can't really remember the titles of the episodes that I saw because I haven't watched a lot of them actually as an adult. I remember watching them in images from when I was a kid. I've only watched like Mordred Undead and Enlightenment, really. So, but they weren't really favourites, if you see what I mean. So I can't really pass any sort of top three other than Five Doctors
on
Peter Davison because I'm not well versed in it. I remember watching, but he's not one
something
that
for you
back
to look forward to. Then
exactly, I'll add it to my home list.
Absolutely right. Well, my favourites were in a certain order. The third was the Five Doctors, as you say. Second favourite was Planet of Fire.
I can figure that one out easily.
very funny, but yes. And my first favourite was the story that followed.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Followed the Planet of Fire was The Caves of Androzani, which is just mind-blowingly good.
Yes.
Right, so funny, a lot of regeneration stories are popping up amongst mine, to be fair. But right, moving on to...
It's such a great idea.
Thank you.
They're always dramatic, too.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, so you're not complimenting me. Well, that's never mind. But right, Colin Baker's going to be tricky. I know it is, but it is a challenge that's in there. Mary, go on, have a go.
Well, I would have to go with any of the Trial of the Time Lord stories. The Mysterious Planet, I like Terror of the Vervoids, I like The Ultimate Foe. No, so all from that little grouping. I like those stories.
Oh, that's good choices. Yes.
Yeah.
Reese.
I just realized I've never seen any part of the Trial of the Time Lord.
Really?
I'll have to check that out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
they were good.
It depends on your definition of good.
No, we're talking within his season, right?
Yes.
And I found them interesting. Yes.
Cool.
Oh, so number one would be Attack of the Cybermen.
Right. Which is also known as one of the worst, to be fair, but I do like it.
Really? Wow.
It's not very highly rated in fandom, but I like 10 it.
10-minute rant when we reviewed it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I enjoyed it, though.
Good.
Two would be Revelation of the Daleks, because it's quite brilliant. Fun and quite silly.
Yeah, it's good.
Places. And then three... Vengeance on Varos.
Yeah. Great. Good choices. Matthew, what do you reckon?
Can I just not answer this?
So you like Colin Baker?
Okay, we'll move on.
That's fine. So basically what I'm saying is you're saying from that there's no Colin Baker stories that are TV Colin Baker that sort of stick in the mind as being any good.
You're going to get him started.
No, that's right.
You know, back to definitions of good. I mean, we're listing favorites, and I am very clear whenever we've talked about Colin Baker's TV stories on this podcast. I am not a fan of Colin's era on TV. I'm not really fond of any of the stories from that era.
Okay.
If I had to pick a favorite, it would probably be Revelation of the Daleks, though, good. As I've pointed out.
Well, you've done it. That's what we're looking at. Brilliant.
Okay.
But it would be interesting to know, because you're a bit of a connoisseur of the subject, what is the best sort of, maybe the best three Big Finish stories?
Jubilee by Rob Sherman, which is the inspiration in many ways for the Dalek episode with Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah.
In my mind, sticks out as if I want to listen to a Colin Baker Big Finish audio, that's the first one I go to.
Yeah,
the Marion Conspiracy.
Yeah, I was about to say that, Mary. Actually, okay. Marion Conspiracy, which was their beginning, Big Finish's beginning of their rehabilitation of Colin's doctor, and also the introduction of the wonderful character of Evelyn Smythe, played by the late, great, much lamented Maggie Stables.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Number three. Trying to think, because it's been a while since I've heard a lot of the older stuff. Problem with doing a Big Finish podcast is you keep going forwards rather than looking backwards. Spectre of London Moor, which is another early one, which also had the Brigadier in it with Evelyn Smythe in that as well. It's just a really fun, good, solid, traditional Doctor Who story. Set in Cornwall, of all places. And also, as I said, the first proper meeting of the Sixth Doctor with the Brigadier. The only proper meeting, really, of the Sixth Doctor and the Brigadier. So,
Okay. Debbie, what do you reckon?
Going with what Mary said, really enjoyed The Trial of a Time Lord. Absolutely loved it. It's really hard to pick one out of that, but really liked Terror of the Vervoids, you know, and Mysterious Black. I really liked that. That was really effective that season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was...
Yeah.
I can't really pick a absolute top. Yeah.
It was intriguing, I have to say.
No,
but
sorry.
But none of them appear in my top three. My top three are The Mark of the Rani.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will be surprised to hear this. And don't get annoyed, Matthew.
Oh,
but
time.
I have a deep affection for Time Lash. That's my number two. But my number one is The Two Doctors, which is absolutely super.
Oh, yeah. The Two Doctors is fun.
Apart from the very tall Sontarans.
Yeah.
But Troughton's in it, for goodness sake. It's The Two Doctors.
Yeah, he does absolutely nothing but lay around for two-thirds of the story.
He just has to do it with his eyebrows. He's great.
It's a multi-doctor story where one of the doctors is unnecessary. It could have been anybody.
There's a bit of an issue with the opening black and white scene and how that fits into the timeline of Doctor Who, because it's just Jamie and the Doctor, etc., etc. But it doesn't matter. I loved it. Move on.
The Two Doctors' greatest accomplishment is it gave us season 6B in the spin-off media. That is about all I can really say for it.
Cool. Okay, now we'll move on to an era that is a bit closer to your heart, Matthew, the Sylvester McCoy era. Friend of the show. Yes. Right, so, Mary...
Whoa. He's another one whose stories on Big Finish are way better than anything I like that he did on TV. Mm. I would have to go like with Battlefield, Survival, and Remembrance of the Daleks.
Yep, good choices. Reese?
A lot of these stories are actually on my... to watch list quite urgently too. Especially Remembrance of the Daleks. I've heard a lot about that.
I have not seen it.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Wow, a treat you are about to have.
Yes.
said Yoda. Right.
My favourite from what I've seen would probably be Curse of Fenric. Followed by Ghostlight and then Battlefield. So basically, that season got better and better for me.
Good choices again. That's a strange noise. It's going to hear a strange buzzing noise. Who's buzzing?
Either wittering away in the kitchen.
It's your microphone.
Yes, your right. microphone.
Yeah. Do you know why it's my microphone?
She's got the Cyberman for microphone.
Yes. There's a period of time in which it does this, Debbie.
Okay.
So what we'll have to do is hang you up and bring you back again. So I'll hang you up and bring you back.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And reboot Skype. Right. Now we can talk about it. Was it her go, by the way? Where did we get up to?
Oh,
go on then. This is your moment, the Sylvester McCoy moment for Mr. Matthew Pressel. Here we go.
Curse of Fenric. Curse of Fenric's got to be number one. It absolutely has to be.
Right.
Remembrance of the Daleks in number two. Number three. Oh, that's the tough one because I'm incredibly fond of both Ghostlight and Battlefield, but I think Ghostlight edges out to get the number three spot, just because it's a great multi-layered story, something I think that stands up to repeated viewings, which drives some people insane, but I absolutely love it for that reason, so.
Mm. Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
Have you gone over to your old microphone? You're still on the new one.
I'm still on the new one.
Oh, there we go. That's all you needed. Very simple cure, that was. You'll have to listen to the show to find out what Matthew's favourite Sylvester McCoy's stories were. Okay. Right, so it's your turn then, Deb.
Remembrance of the Daleks. Quite like Battlefield.
Mm.
And I suppose it's going to have to be Ghostlight.
Well done, good choice.
It's really
again.
Hard to decide. Yeah, it's really hard to decide.
There are some really good ones. There's some really bad ones as well. But my choices were, in third place, Battlefield. It's got the Brigadier in it. In second place, Remembrance of the Daleks. It's very atmospheric, and they did spend some money on it regarding special effects and stuff.
Yes.
Great performances. It's a really, really cracking story. My favourite, and Kirby's, is Delta and the Bannermen. Absolutely love it.
My least favourite McCoy, it must be said.
No, it can't be because of Time and the Rani.
I would rather watch Time and the Rani while being waterboarded than sit down and watch Delta and the Bannermen again.
Wow, okay. I don't like Delta and the Bannermen, but not that much.
No,
I
it's
like
good.
It that much.
I love Delta and the Bannermen. Right. Even with the dodgy American characters in it. We've got some dodgy American characters on this show, so it's not too bad. Right then, the next one is Paul McGann. Now, this might be quite quick, because our answer isn't... Right, yes, right. For me, in this order, and in second place is the movie, and Night of the Doctor is by far and away.
Does Big Finish count? Because he's got a big output there.
I haven't...
That's probably where we're going to have to resort to.
Yeah, well, it might be interesting just covering Big Finish a little bit on this one. So I haven't listened to a lot of the McGann stories on Big Finish. What I have listened to, I'll tell you what, my favourite one, and it's rather ironic, but it was the Sharda adaptation. I really enjoyed that.
Yes.
So I'd say at the moment that's my favourite, but I know there's a lot of stuff I'm going to be looking forward to listening to. Debbie, have you listened to any Big Finish McGanns?
Not McGann's.
No?
No.
Okay.
What
about you then?
Definitely on my listen to.
What about you then, Rhys?
They're on my listen to as well.
Okay, go on. Mary McGann's on the Big Finish front.
Scherzo.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Seasons of Fear. What is that titled, Matthew?
Yeah, Seasons of Fear, the one written by Paul Cornell and his wife.
Okay, Seasons of Fear and Blood of the Daleks.
Ooh, that sounds like one to listen to. What about you then, Matthew?
Top spot will be The Chimes of Midnight, once again written by Rob Shearman. Absolutely fantastic. Actually very appropriate for when we're recording because it's Christmas set. Very spooky.
Yeah.
Natural History of Fear, which is completely unorthodox.
Oh, that's the one I meant. That's the one I meant. Not Seasons of Fear.
Yeah, Doctor Who meets 1984 in a parallel universe. Yes, go listen to that one. You want a really big and experimental Doctor Who story, go listen to Natural History of Fear. Dark Eyes in number three. It's just the first box set.
Oh my gosh,
They did absolutely stunningly good.
The thing I like about the idea I like about the Big Finish McGann era is the fact that they've got series, seasons of his stories, which I'm really looking forward to sort of maybe picking up and just listening through. That's something that I must do at some point. But also,
or if you're interested in doing it, there is always Stories from the Vortex, which you can find at storiesfromthevortex.blogspot.com and also on iTunes.
Did you not plug that earlier on?
you brought up Big Finish. I'll mention my Big Finish centric podcast. Thank you very much.
And retaining the subject of Big Finish, I have a couple of stories that stick in my mind of being absolutely astounding. I think there's one called Master.
That's a McCoy one, but it's my favorite of the McCoy Big Finish audios.
So atmospheric. And there's another one from another iconic Doctor Who character, Davros, where we have they have Davros before he got disfigured.
I think the series is called I, Davros.
That's it, I, Davros. Yeah, I thought they might be called I, Davros.
Yeah. There is a Davros audio that came before I, Davros, which is just Colin Baker and Terry Molloy, which does delve into some of that pre-disfigured state as well that really lays a lot of the groundwork for the I, Davros series. Mm. So it could be either one. It's kind of hard to tell. Your description's a bit vague, Adam.
Okay. Oh, another funny noise. That was Ben.
Yeah, and another wonderful
Ben. You sound really weird. Yeah, just
wow.
Or is it Debbie sound? Oh, he's there. Right, Debbie, are you all right? Because you sound. It might have been you sounding weird. Oh, Debbie's gone. Maybe it is her going a bit funny. Maybe she's gone all cyber on me. I'll tell you what we're doing, Ben. Well, hello, by the way.
You do, because I have no idea.
Yeah, what we're doing, we're looking at our favourite stories from each of the Doctors at the moment. We've just gone past McGann and just about to embark on the Eccleston era and our sort of top three favourite stories of those eras.
Doesn't the McGann period leave you with not?
It is a bit, yeah. There's not a lot there as far as the TV shows go.
Did you all kind of agree on the same?
Yeah,
one?
We did, sort of. Yeah, Night of the Doctor's the best one, so. But we did talk about the Big Finish series, which there's quite
I like
a lot
the five
of.
Five-ish Doctors doesn't really count because he's playing himself, but.
Debbie, what the hell's happened to Debbie? She's disappeared. Right, so we'll hang her up and get her the phone back. I thought she was. Must have that funny noise. Must have been actually coming from her, not from Ben.
Well, I don't do many funny noises apart from.
Yes, you do. Right.
It's so, called talking.
Right.
Oh, what?
Oh, Mary, bang. Oh, right. I've only been on for about a minute already. I've Mary.
Right. So we're gonna. While I try and retrieve Debbie, much more to just bring Isla around here. She only lives about 5 minutes away. Moving on to Christopher Eccleston. Right then, who should we start with? Mary, what do you reckon? Christopher Eccleston, top three stories.
Well, three stories from one season.
Yeah.
What I want to say is, as one story, the two episodes, The Empty Child and The Doctor Dances, is definitely a favorite. Yeah. Dalek, of course. And, I'll have to say Rose, because it was such a, you know, iconic introduction to the new, the return of Who.
Yeah.
Who?
Yes, Reese. What do you reckon? Eccleston. You?
I agree with Mary's first and second choice, The Doctor Dances and The Empty Child, and then Dalek, or maybe the other way around with those first two episodes. But what would be my third? Father's Day.
Okay, so what would you say is your first favourite Dalek?
My first favourite was The Empty Child.
Empty Child, okay.
And then, because that's one story. Then there's Dalek, and then Father's Day.
All right, Matthew.
Dalek is going to be in the top spot. I think it's the best episode of that season, that first season, hands down.
No.
Ben's turned into a caveman.
We talked about An Earthly Child like about an hour ago.
I know. It's catching up.
Yes, that's quite good. Topical, yes.
Number two, probably Father's Day as well. It's just a bloody good story.
Yes.
Aliens in London, World War III, partly because it was the first new series story I saw.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about that story I've always liked. I don't know, I can't quite figure out why, because some of the humor in it I find kind of dumb, but I love it anyways. I'm not quite sure why, though.
Oh, what, fart jokes aren't really your forte.
They're not, and that's the thing that bugs me about that story. But I love it anyways. I don't know why, and I think I just hit the laptop, so everybody out.
Ben, do you have a top three favourite Christopher Eccleston stories?
Yes, I do.
And what are they?
Are they?
Oh, you want to know that as well? God,
yes.
Yes.
I thought I could just answer in the affirmative. Well, I think my third favourite from that series, from the first series, will have to be Rose, because it was just such a brilliant reintroduction to it. And you remember all the talk we had before Adam when it was coming back, and all the build up to it, and
you managed to get the episode before it went out. I remember you on the radio saying you'd got it before it actually come out.
I did, yeah. And it was very exciting. So I'd have to go for that one. And now, I don't know if I'm allowed to lump together Bad Wolf and the Parting of the Ways as one episode.
Yeah, no, it's a story. That's fine, yeah.
It's because, a story, yeah.
Well, in that case, that's definitely my number one for the series, because the ending to the first series, to bring a series back and to have a climax to the series of, like, that magnitude of the Daleks in their millions, and then the Doctor giving up his life for Rose to say, it was just brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my number one. And as for my number two, I'll have to put in Father's Day, because I thought that was an emotionally touching episode.
Yeah.
And I thought Rose was brilliant in that. And that's what made me love her almost as much as cake.
Debbie's back, everybody. What do you reckon, Debbie? Top three Christopher Eccleston's Eccles cakes.
Dalek.
Right.
You just sounded like you were talking and you sped yourself up. Dalek.
No, she was new microphone. It's a bit weird.
She's imitating me.
Yeah, Dalek. The Empty Child was my second one.
Along with Dr. Dancers, of course.
I quite like Parting of the Ways.
Okay, right. Well, my three in reverse order are number three.
I'm afraid we haven't got time for that.
Yes, we have. Number three is Father's Day. It's just a brilliant timey-wimey. I just love it. It's fantastic. Number two, Dalek. It's just made the Daleks scary again. And I even put up with that chap from Coronation Street in it. And, superfluous, but I didn't need him in there. But apart from that, it's brilliant. But number one, I've always said this, Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways. Parting of the Ways is probably one of my individual favourite episodes of all time, certainly my top ten. It's just superb. And I don't even mind the Big Brother references in Bad Wolf.
I thought that was brilliant because of the timing of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back then people still watched Big Brother, apart from yourself, Adam.
So oh, watching that.
It had a lot of relevance to it. And the fact they had that and they tied in all the other BBC game shows to it, I thought was really clever. And, as I say, an exceptionally good ending to the first series.
Absolutely. And now we move into another tricky thing to judge. So moving into Mary and David Tennant. Go on then, have a go at it.
So David Tennant's moving into Mary. What?
Oh dear.
Lucky Mary.
I wish. One of my favorites with him would be the combination Rise of the Cybermen, Age of Steel. Another one would be Midnight. And Wars of Mars.
Yeah.
Good collection of episodes.
Absolutely. It's difficult finding. There's so many good Tenants there, isn't there, to actually there picking out our top three. Right then, so therefore, Reese.
Oh, this is tricky.
Mm-hmm.
The Silence in the Library two-parter is number one. It's an incredibly emotional story, and it's very well acted and directed and scored.
I can't argue with that.
What else? This is tricky. There are going to be a few two-parters in here, I can tell.
Okay.
Human Nature, two-parter.
Oh, another
two-parter. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then, it's either a tie between The Christmas Invasion or Army of Ghosts and Doomsday, because they're both great start to his story and a good end to Rose's story. I'll go for the two-parter. I'll go for the finale of season two.
Okay. Right then, Matthew.
Human Nature, Family of Blood is all is in the top spot. I think it's probably still my favorite new series story, even at this point. Waters of Mars, number two. Number three, Turn Left, even though it's a Dr. Light story, it is just absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And
spoke about that last week.
It's a bit like Inferno. It's just sort of this whole parallel universe thing, except this time it's a, what if the Doctor's not around? And the answer is all hell breaks loose.
Yes. Oh, and I'd forgotten about Utopia. That's another
thing. You love that. I know you love that.
Oh,
Mira.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Ben.
It's incredibly hard to try and narrow three David Tennant stories down to my favourites, but my favourite Tennant story is The End of Time Part 1 and 2, just because...
Right.
Yeah.
It's because it's the end of David
Tennant. It's emotional.
And to be fair, you know, the series did take a bit of a dive for 3 years after that.
I wasn't waiting for that.
I also loved Stolen Earth and Journey's End just because of the fact
that, you know, so many
companions and that. Yeah.
All the epic ones.
Scene of them all standing around the TARDIS console.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The proper TARDIS doctor watching over
as
them.
It should
and,
be driven. Yeah,
yeah, it's just fantastic. So there's two. The third one, oh man, seriously. I think I'm probably going to have to throw it. I mean, as much as I want to put in Blink, because Blink is phenomenal episode.
Yeah. Yes,
I think that would be squeezed out to number four. And I'd have to put in The Age of Steel and Army of Ghosts and Doomsday.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that emotional scene, it's iconic.
Yeah, God, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not just that.
Saying goodbye to Rose and all of that. Fantastic. So I think they'd be my three, but I think Blink would just be 3A.
Yeah,
3A.
Debbie.
Silence in the Library two-parter. Love that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely adore that. Blink is up there for me, and Midnight, I just love the fact, you know, he's the cleverest person in the room in general, and it gets turned on him. I love that.
Yeah. I have that so many times in my life.
That episode.
I bet you do. Wait,
being the cleverest person in the room.
Midnight is the episode.
On a Tuesday morning, recording a podcast.
No,
I'm
sorry.
To ask that question.
I like using Midnight as an argument for the people who say that RTD was a rubbish writer, because that just shows. The complete opposite. Yeah. Complete
I generally
opposite.
Use series 1 to 4 to
I might agree with that, except for a lot of the crap in series 3.
Yeah, series 3 was a little bit, you know.
Then it came back strong with series 4. We've already established that's the best series so far.
But was that Martha's fault?
Yeah.
I played Martha.
Right, have I missed anybody before I move on to my choices? Good, that's great. No. Right, my choices. Right, David Tennant, number 3. Partners in Crime. Come on, it's just...
That is so good.
Lighthearted, of course, with Adipose are a bit silly, but it's the rapport between David Tennant and Catherine Tate. Amazing. Number 2, End of Time. Epic brilliance. I can even put up with a Master Race. It's just so good. And yes, it is a bit drawn out, the regeneration, but it's David Tennant's departure. It's David Tennant's departure. Mm-hmm. They built it up to it's a crescendo. Bernard Cribbins is in it, for goodness sake. It's fantastic.
There you go. There you go.
Number 1 for me, Stolen Earth Journey's End. Oh. Yeah. The regeneration cliffhanger is the best cliffhanger in Doctor Who ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I nominate a favorite scene?
Yeah.
Actually, two favorite scenes. One is that recognition scene in Partners in Crime.
Yeah.
And my other favorite scene is the charade that the two go through in it's the Agatha Christie one.
Unicorn and the Wasp.
That charade scene when he's trying to tell her he needs an antidote for what he just swallowed.
Yeah.
Harvey
Like I say, the rapport between them two is just superb. Oh, I love that.
He
don't do wood. There's so many good things about. All right, moving on to Matt Smith. We could stay on David Tennant all day. Matt Smith, right, Mary.
Oh, my God. Matt Smith. Well, 11th Hour.
Right.
Yes.
Would be right up there. Oh, dear. I'm trying to think about the Matt Smith era. There were a lot of good ones. Christmas Carol. That's the one I...
Yeah,
you know, the two that I send people to for Matt Smith is 11th Hour and Christmas Carol. I love them both.
Anything else?
Well, the whole... no. Yeah, maybe the Pandorica.
Okay. That's a good choice. Good choice. All right.
Could we just agree that the 50th is just held above a lot of them and we don't actually have to mention that? It's just guaranteed.
For me, it's my number one.
Not for you, Matt.
Go on then. Okay,
I forgot we had a weirdo in the group.
Go on then, Reese. Give us your top three.
You decided to join us this time, Reese.
It's true.
Black, I might add.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Go on, Reese. What's your top three? Obviously, number one is Day of the Doctor. So what's your two and three?
No. I was just saying, could that just be guaranteed that I love it so that I can at least pick three actual episodes instead of the special? Because the Pandorica and the Big Bang is number one. That's incredible for me.
Yep.
This is tricky. Because unlike Ben, I love this era.
Ben likes it.
Finding three good episodes, actually.
I was waiting for that.
I was waiting for the third good one.
Who's putting their phone near the microphone? They're going to get told off.
That wasn't me.
I'm now going to put my phone on top of my laptop just to piss you off.
And then Adam will have to come around and take it off.
It might be a bit of a drive. But
yeah, it will take me a while.
It'll
take me a while, yeah.
So I've got the Pandorica opens and the Big Bang. The Snowmen. What else?
Some aspects of the Snowmen I like. The comedy bits, mainly.
And the Doctor's Wife.
Ooh.
Not
a bad selection.
No.
He's changed his mind.
The Girl Who Waited.
Yeah, another good one. Okay, go on then, Ben. This is a challenge for you.
It really is.
I'll just zone out because he'll start hating on it.
I'm very upset by that last comment. I mean, it's not as though I've ever slated this era before, is it? I mean, now you're coming on all harsh on me.
I'm going to mute my microphone at this point.
Me too.
So I think I'll have to put in The Time of the Doctor.
Right.
Because I did quite enjoy that one. Yes, you heard me. I enjoyed one.
I enjoyed a Stephen Moffat story.
Well, it was more to do with the fact that it was... Yeah, if I must say yes, I must, yes. They're all just crap. I'm just trying to remember the name of the Doctor, what that one was about. Yeah, that was all right as well. I might put that one in. And the end of the first of his series was all right.
What, Pandorica opens?
The Pandorica opens, and that one, I'll settle on those ones. But as I say, I'll agree with Reese on something, that the 50th is rather special.
Yes.
And, I did like that one immensely, but that's because it had David Tennant in it.
Ben's got a crush.
Right man crush. Yes, I hope Doctors 10 and 11.
I hope Matthew's going to demute his microphone for his turn.
Yes.
There's no Day of the Doctor would be a number one, but we've already firmly established, even through Ben, who normally hates the Moffat era with the passion not known to modern bands, that it's special, we won't. There's no point naming it number one.
Why isn't it? It is the best one. It has to be number one.
Reese and Ben didn't name it as number one, I cannot buck the trend.
Apart from what Mary said, sorry, I forgot about Mary. How could I forget about Mary?
Yeah, it's up there. How can you forget?
Yeah, if you forget about Mary, just have a look at your Skype screen. There's a picture.
There she is.
She's the woman who's not called Debbie who talks.
Well, there's two Debbies on there. One of them's you.
Oh God, yeah. You know, that's mental because that was on my last laptop. I changed that, and I still haven't changed it back. Maybe I should get onto that now.
It might be a good idea.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, where were we?
I believe I was trying to figure out what to name as my number one, since I wasn't going to name Day of the Doctor.
Oh, go on then. I'll give you other choices
Doctor's
if you so wish.
Wife.
Yes.
Probably is going to take the number one spot.
Okay.
Just absolutely fantastic. Snowman in number two. I've got a big fondness for it.
Okay.
I can hear Jeff Waddle screaming at the top of his lungs with me saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare in Silver. I know people. I know there's people out there who hate the thing.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it that much, to be fair.
But it's a Neil Gaiman Cyberman story. We got what we asked for, and I don't understand why people hate it as much as they do.
It's the kids. It's the kids. They're a bit superfluous,
it's,
right?
It's the whole story.
Okay. Well, I'd say the whole story. Some of it's quite good. I do. Warwick Davis is in it, and the Cybermen look really good.
Yeah, the Cybermen look really good. I mean, maybe Gaiman took the abilities of them to an extreme, but let's be honest. Their previous story, they were defeated by the power of love, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I know.
Love.
I hate that. Something else. Being defeated by the power of love does annoy me.
I just heard the power of love on the radio.
Oh, for goodness sake. Was it the Frankie Goes to Hollywood version?
It was the Frankie Goes to
Hollywood. Good, that's the best version.
Not the Roden Keating one.
Go
Did
on
you
in.
Accidentally slip 30 years back in time, Ben?
No, I listened to radio too. Same kind of thing.
Yes.
Christmas, they all come out this time.
Go on then, Debbie. Matt Smith, top three.
Pandora opens.
All right.
Doctor's Wife.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed The Angels Take Manhattan.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, as I mentioned last week. Well, my top three are, and I don't discard The Day of the Doctor as a Matt Smith story, because it is indeed a Matt Smith story. Number three is The Time of the Doctor. I think I quite enjoy watching that, yeah, regeneration story, etc., etc. Number two, 11th Hour, it's so good. And number one is Day of the Doctor. It's quite a straightforward selection, I think, on those ones. Yeah, love them all. Right, Peter Capaldi.
Hold on, before we move on to Peter Capaldi, you know I so amusingly changed my profile name to Debbie. I cannot work out how to change it back.
Oh dear, well, there you go. Stuck at Debbie. It's probably because you're online at the moment. We'll have to go offline. But don't do that yet. We can do it afterwards. Right then.
No, please do.
Shut up. Peter Capaldi. Right, Mary, do you have a top three Peter Capaldi?
I did not like the entire season, so... the only one I can even remotely say that I enjoyed was the Mummy on the Orient Express, and that's
it.
That's it.
That's
it. Okay. Well. Controversial. Reese, what do you reckon?
Oh wow, tough choices.
Because we haven't spoken about the series yet. Because last time you were on was when just after the first episode went out. A Deep Throat, I Mean Breath.
No, wait, I talked about Death in Heaven.
Yeah, so.
But yes, what would I choose? I'll go in reverse order.
Go on, then.
And make it easy for myself.
Yes.
I'll agree with Mary. Mummy on the Orient Express is very good. Deep Breath would be number two.
Okay.
And then number three is...
In reverse order. You're confusing me.
Is my second choice, sorry.
So it's Mummy on the Orient Express number
one? It's choice number two. So Mummy on the Orient Express is number three. It's coming in at number three. Okay. My second choice is Deep Breath.
Yes.
That's in the middle.
Yep.
And then it's one story, but I prefer the first part is the finale. I prefer Dark Water.
Oh.
But because they go together, I'll go with, obviously, the finale as a whole because it's one story.
Okay, if you say so. Go on then, Matthew.
Let's see here. Going in reverse order, probably Deep Breath at number three.
Mm-hmm.
Kill the Moon at number two, because I really enjoyed that episode and really enjoyed some of the concepts and stuff behind it.
Yes.
Being a bit of a space nut. And I don't think it's quite as... I don't think some of the stuff in there that people threw fits about were quite as absurd as a lot of people think.
You mean like only half the Earth gets to vote?
Mary,
the fact that the moon looked exactly the same after
Mary, you live in America. You know how a democracy works.
Yes. You two stop bickering.
No, well, democracy allows all to vote.
But not all the people do vote. That's exactly the people
not
who choose
people
to vote.
Not all people do, but only half the earth was visible to,
okay.
to the vote.
Fair enough.
Oh, and here I thought you were going to bring up the fact that the moon is a giant egg. But no, that is the thing you have a problem with. That boggles my mind.
That was one example.
That boggles my mind. Number one, Mummy on the Orient Express probably would be my favorite of the season.
Okay. Right. Ben. Yeah, sorry, Ben. Top three Capaldis?
Okay, top three Capaldis. In third place, Fires of Pompeii.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice. Well
in
done.
Second place, the 50th, because his eyebrows are in it.
And number one is Children of Earth.
Don't laugh, Mary. Number one will be, I think I have to say that the series 2-part finale.
Okay.
Because I did quite like, Dark Water and Death in Heaven. It did finish off nicely, apart from the stupid bloody Cyberman Brigadier thing at the end. And all of the billion flaws that you could find in that episode.
Mm.
It still was pretty good. Either that or the series finale of the third series of The Thick of It. That was quite good as well.
Right then, Debbie.
Or should I say in the language of Peter Capaldi, it was beep good.
Right then.
So to make sure that should actually be, it was beep, 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 beep.
Right, Debbie, go on then. Capaldi.
Beep.
That's one, Mummy on the Orient Express.
Is that number three or number
that's
one?
That's my number one.
All right, go
that's
on.
My number one.
Yeah.
Number two, Listen.
All right, what's number two?
I am. Yeah. What was it?
What is it? What's number two?
I'll have some change. And number three, I don't know.
Jiggle.
I think I'll have to go with Dark Water, but I just think for being silly, Robot of Sherwood was pretty good for being
Robert
silly.
Yes.
I very nearly selected Robot of Sherwood, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think in which episode Jenna does more running.
I don't know.
Well, that would probably be one of my favourite Capaldi ones as well. So.
Adam, I've got a voice message from Kirby. Yes, Mary.
I have to go.
Have you got time to stay for my top three Capaldis?
All right, give us your top
three. Number three.
Then I'll go.
Okay, number three is Mummy on the Orient Express. Number two is Kill the Moon, despite its criticisms. And number one is Listen.
Yeah.
That is my top
Mary, I bet you're really glad you weren't
there. That was worth it.
It's quite good that you get away just before we do the all-time top three. So, bearing in mind, obviously, you haven't had a lot of memories of earlier Doctor Who. Yeah, but thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mary.
Bye. Take care.
All right, so that's what we're going to do next. All-time top three Doctor Who. And I think we'll, while Ben thinks about it for a bit, and this is all time.
I mean, cheers for that. You've given me, 3.5 minutes to think of my favourite ever top three Doctor Who episode.
Yes,
thanks
of all time. Okay.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Right, Matthew.
Let's see here. Genesis of the Daleks in number one.
Yes.
Curse of Fenric in number two.
Mm.
Day of the Doctor in number three, but I'll rank it above Human Nature, Family of Blood because it is that bloody brilliant.
Excellent.
Can I say bloody?
Yes.
You have said
it.
Now.
You said it
just
now.
Did. Just did.
Reese.
Number one, Day of the Doctor.
Okay.
Number two. Oh, tricky. Not because I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy it a lot, but not because...
I hate it, so it's number two.
No, wait. Not because of the enjoyment factor alone, but because it gave us the series, the first episode of An Unearthly Child.
Mm-hmm. Which is a bit of a story in itself, isn't it, really?
It is, really.
Mm.
What else? This is tough.
Just a shame it had at least three episodes of intertribal politics and the quest for fire.
Yes. Oh.
I'm a bit hung up on that fact, if nobody's noticed.
No, really. Oh, and the 11th hour.
Okay. Debbie?
Yes. Top three of all time now.
Yes.
Today, it's quite hard.
Yes, well, what about the choices?
An Empty Child. The Empty Child is up there.
Yes.
Pyramids of Mars.
Oh, yes.
I keep going back to that one. And Day of the Doctor.
Good choices. And to give Ben a few more.
I'm almost there. I've narrowed it down to 13.
Okay. I'll give you my three. Right. Number three, Planet of Spiders. A story very close to my heart. Number two, predictably so, City of Death. Number one, almost as predictably as so, The Pirate Planet. For reasons I have already outlined, my top three favourite stories of all time. Ben?
Okay, right, well, I'm narrowing it down to... I really liked, for reasons that, you know, it's all sentimentally type stuff, the Logopolis, like, type stories with that. And is that the one where Peter Davison turned up after Tom Baker? Yes, it was, wasn't it? Really like that. That's kind of like what my earliest memories of watching Doctor Who on telly was that episode. So I think that might have to be in there.
Right.
I'm toying with putting Inferno in there because that's probably one of my that is one of my favourite old Who stories. Really like that. I just think it just goes on for so long. It's just like more like a film, even though it is a little bit stupid. I did still quite enjoy it. But I don't know if that would make him my top three because I think the end of the Eccleston era one, that was a good one.
Yeah, Parting of the Ways.
I think I'd have to put in there The Parting of the Ways. I'd have to put in there The End of Time.
Yeah.
And we'll go with Logopolis as well.
Good choices. Choices close to my heart as well, because I already said Logopolis is the story that turned me into a Doctor Who fan rather than a viewer.
Here,
so, thank you very much for that, Ben. And that has sort of rather covered it rather well, unless we want to backtrack and go through Ben's individual favourite stories of the Hartnell, Troughton, Pertwee, Tom Baker, Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy eras.
I'll tell you what, we'll save time and I'll just say don't bother.
There was a little bit of feedback left over from last week. I forgot it was from Demos.
Kirby's left a voice.
I know he has. I'm just about to play it, which we'll play after Kirby's voice message, which is this. I haven't played this yet, so I hope there's no swearing on it, Kirby. Oh. That's number one. Here we go.
Give me 20 minutes and I'll get a list to you for today's show.
20 minutes?
I can't. Talk.
When did he send that?
Coffee. Sorry.
Oh, bless him. I don't suppose you hear. It was quite quiet. But yeah,
he didn't hear a word.
Again, you'll have to wait till the show is on. But he's basically sounding rather poorly. That's Kirby, everybody.
Bless
he's
him.
Ill. And this is the feedback. Ben.
Hello.
This is Slick. I think it was a particular story. Oh, no, it's quite long. Right, Dinos Daniel, this is what I should have been read out last week. Sorry, Dinos, but my computer was playing up last week and it marked it as read when it wasn't. So here we go. Good day, Adam, and all fellow members of the podcast. I thought I would send in some feedback about Series 8 and also my thoughts on comparing seasons. Well, this is my Doctor regenerating, so Peter Capaldi needed to be good to win me over after well-planned seeds of doubt, well-planted, I don't remember that episode, planted by Stephen Moffat took root in my mind. I was even longer bringing the 12th Doctor into my heart. Nice one. Oh, I see, he was even longer bringing, oh yeah, never mind. I really like it when the Doctor's ethics and morals are brought into the light and questioned. I'll put my finger on the screen, lost where I was reading. We get better insights into this alien that we know so much about, yet so little. Danny's confrontations with the Doctor were great at doing this, and his insults were the equal of the Doctor's "Yes, sir, officer, sir," while saluting the old blood-soaked general. Then, when the Doctor ended choosing for the death of Danny's soul stroke heart, even after all his grandiose speeches, top class writing. Do I think some people might disagree
grandiose.
With that? Thank you, grandiose. Yes, thank you. I should get Debbie to read this, but she's not sat next to me. I think that Jeff's right. Clara is pregnant, but I'm thinking twins. I loved the Missy. Pardon?
Never mind.
Right. I loved the Missy take on the Master, the Queen of Evil. And like Adam, I love the Osgood death scene because it makes Missy dangerous and very deadly. Oh, I agree with that. I just didn't. I'd just rather she'd done it to another character.
Sorry, the Queen of Evil, Graham Norton.
Watch.
I didn't know. It was a joke.
Watch out big time if you are a friend of the Doctor. Missy was wonderful and stole the show off the Doctor in Death in Heaven. So clever but insane and always selfish. Did anyone think that handcuffing and restraining the Master ever was going to work? Seriously, it is like chaining up a Dalek. Enjoyed how Missy was brought down by overlooking the little things for the big picture, such as the Master, such a Master thing to do. Clara bringing the Doctor's morals into question again over whether the Monster stroke Missy, or in brackets Missy, lives or dies, and anything Missy does after his fault is his fault, sorry, if he lets her live. Great writing. Question. Is Clara right to put blame stroke shame on the Doctor for not killing or killing Missy? It says not killing or killing Missy before Cyber Brig stepped in. Comparing seasons. I did my homework and came up with these results based on comparing all new Doctor Who episodes, comparing them to corresponding ones. Right, number one, shall we do in reverse order? Number 13, Parting of the Ways. Number 12, The Stolen Earth. Number 11, Crimson Aura. Number, shut that magic. Number 10, Blink. Number 9, The Satan Pit. Number 8, Silence in the Library. Number 7, A Good Man Goes to War. Number 6, hang on. Number 8, that was. He's put strange brackets. I'm getting confused. Oh, no, sorry. I'm looking at it. Sorry. Where did I go? The Good Man's Goes to War was number 7. Number 6, Dalek. Number 5, Flesh and Stone. Number 4, Time of Angels. Number 3, School Reunion. Number 2, Into the Dalek. And number 1, 11th Hour. So basically, they were the episodes. I did it in reverse order. I should have done it the other way around. So his series from all of New Who would have been 11th Hour, Into the Dalek, School Reunion, and Time of Angels, Flesh and Stone, Dalek, Good Man Goes to War, Silence in the Library, Satan Pit, Blink, Crimson Horror, Stolen Earth, Parting of the Ways, and the specials he chose was Day of the Doctor. So mine are scattered through all seasons, with the fifth series getting the most, but mainly proving that I love it all. Well, that's my penny's worth. All the best, Dino. Now, we established Series 4 was the best, actually, Dino, so that was quite interesting. Thank you very much. Right, I suppose we'd better look at a little bit of news, as we've got a little bit of time left.
Well,
don't all
well,
agree at once.
Not dead. There's something that's news.
Well, it's not. It's obvious.
Well, yes, but if you just watched the last episode, you'd have seen her maybe get shot, and then obviously
no. Earlier on in the story, we saw a blue transporter beam thing, didn't we? Which
yes,
is the same colour
yeah.
as what got rid of Missy. Right, so. Not as much has happened since last week in regards to news. There's a few more pictures been released of the forthcoming Christmas special, which apparently is called Last Christmas.
I gave you my heart.
Yeah. So maybe there's a guest appearance from George Michael somewhere in it. BBC Worldwide have given an update on the status of the last classic story expected to be released on DVD, The Underwater Menace. We hope to release The Underwater Menace in 2015. We delayed the release to ensure that our publishing schedule is phased appropriately across the year and the episodes will be animated. So, about time too! That's what I say. I accidentally opened something I didn't want to. DVD cover for German Series 25 box set revealed.
Wow, that's just news that Whoa. No one else is ever going to want to miss out on.
Exactly. But there's, as I say, there's new pictures from the forthcoming Christmas special. Last Christmas... including a relative of Patrick Troughton and Doctor Who Adventures magazine number 359 is out. Right, so that's that. All we've got to do now is sponsors. Is Isla around?
She's busy, but Isla, did you want to come do the sponsors? Yep, she's come in. Here she comes.
Okay, good,
come
right.
On, put the iPad down.
Is that what our sponsor is? We're sponsored by Apple. Right, we get some more money in.
Come here.
Oh. You'll be lucky if you're sponsored by bananas or something. Great,
tangerine.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's Isla.
Right, start with doonline.co.uk.
Doonline.co.uk.
And
Lavazi.co.uk.
Thank you, Isla. Yes, those are Isla. Indeed our sponsors. And
he reads them out better than Adam.
Shut your face. Yeah, so the same as last week. Got a TARDIS purse, very nice colour blue. Adipose purse, very nice colour white. TARDIS wallet, Dalek wallet. A TARDIS pocket pal, which is basically a little keyring thing that plays the TARDIS noises and stuff like that, and the TARDIS siege cube, which is £49.99, all of which can be purchased from whowon.co.uk. Now Lavazzi have brought out a new range of Doctor Who items, one of which I'm waiting to open up on Christmas Day, which is the Peter Davison cricket jumper, which is quite handy because if you play cricket, you can use it as a cricket jumper as well. So I'd recommend getting that. I think he also needs to bring out the cricket jumper that Davison used in his last series with a thicker bands around the V-neck. But I've got that in a, all wrapped up ready for Christmas underneath the tree. Thank you. Also, you can buy the... three versions of Tom Baker's scarves now.
They're ever so cheap as well, aren't they?
No.
Yes, I like the one you were wearing this morning when you dropped the microphone around.
That funny enough, is the cheapest at £49.99. That's the official BBC Tom Baker replica scarf. There is also the new Series 16 and 17 scarf, which is £69.99. I'd like to have that one as well, so everybody feels that way inclined. I'm waiting here to receive it in the next couple of weeks. TARDIS scarf, which is a bit of a sister scarf to the Dalek scarf, similar sort of design.
Nice.
Oh, you like it, do you, Debbie?
Yeah, I like that.
Debbie would like that one for Christmas. a new item, the Seventh Doctor's question mark umbrella. And that's only £29.99. I might have to buy that. I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah, they just got it in.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a while. I'm waiting to see one in person before I decide if I'm going to buy one.
Well, if you go to lavazzi.co.uk, there's a picture of some bloke wearing the superb jumper, which I have wrapped up under the Christmas tree, waiting to be opened. It's really good, actually, Matthew. I might have to buy one of those because I need an umbrella, funny enough. So, yes. And it's a 30 quid. That's really good. Have they not?
No,
oh dear.
I'm not putting my tree up until my Daleks arrive.
So Seventh Doctor silk paisley scarf as well. So you could really cosplay up your Seventh Doctor if you buy the umbrella, the jumper, and the paisley scarf. All you've got to do is get a sort of cream or dark brown jacket. And you are indeed, and a wig for me, Seventh Doctor. No, that's because someone's got me coming up on their speaker. So it's just one of those things. It's a bit of feedback. Not the sort of feedback we want, obviously. But you know. Talking of feedback, if you want to send feedback into the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please join our...
Gussing next week.
Gussing next week. Good point. I haven't got to that bit yet. Let me carry on with what I was saying. You've really thrown me now. So if you want to join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, please do so. We have new members. Doesn't happen very often, but we have. Or a member. Yeah. We've got 403 members now. As last week, we had 402. And our newest member is Daniel Pants Panting. Strange name. But he is our most recent member. Right, so next week, what are we going to do next week, Debbie? You can decide. I need the toilet.
I decided last week.
Who's got me up on their speaker? Because it's coming straight back at me and it's really irritating.
Not me.
Oh, everyone's gone all quiet now. It's good.
Shouldn't be me.
Probably me.
Now, Kirby said...
What would you want to do? Best companions?
Well, you know what we haven't really properly done? We haven't had a full review of series 8, well, probably full review of it, yeah. We could do that, and we could also do the worst of Doctor Who. And that's an easy one for Ben. The worst Doctor Who stuff.
I don't know how when I'm going to
decide. Yeah, no, but we'll do exactly what we did. Right. We'll pick up
Matthew is right.
Bottom three.
Yeah.
Although we'll have to skip McGann, because unfortunately McGann's top two will also be his bottom two.
Leave his bottom two out of this.
We'll do the bottom threes apart from McGann for next week. Plus, like you
I
said,
I can do his three worst Big Finish audios.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that as well. You and Mary do that as a bit of an exclusive. Yeah. So it's the bottom three Doctor Who stories from each of the. The Doctors, plus, at the end of it, the bottom three stories of all time. That'll be interesting, especially with Mulot. And that's next week, before we embark on... We're getting very edge closer to the Christmas special of Doctor Who and our own. And it's also, we're getting very close to episode 250, which apparently is a bit of a milestone. Mm. There we go.
Yay.
So, has anybody else got anything else to say before we close the show?
RTD Rock, Stephen Moffat sucks.
I'm pretty sure that Stephen Moffat would be quite happy if it's the other way around, sorry. RTD would be quite happy if Stephen Moffat did what you just said. But anyway, moving on.
Can we
what? Sorry?
Isn't this supposed to be a family friendly podcast?
I never said anything out of order.
I think the runner of this this podcast has just mentioned fellatio.
No, I did not. Oh, sorry, Isla. I didn't say anything out of order. Anyway, right.
Billy's just messaged, said he's too late to do his feedback, but I'll tell him that he can pop some in for next week.
Yes, so the same, but we are rather missing.
My daughter is now out of the room, don't worry.
That's right. I did say we do miss the input of Mr. Ian Kirk, but hopefully next week. So next week, when are we going to do it? I suppose be Tuesday or Monday or Sunday. Well, I don't think I can do it on Sunday.
I'm working Monday.
You're working Monday?
Sundays are always fine.
I think I'm doing something on Sunday, but I can't remember what it is.
I've got the rest of the year off.
Okay. So we'll pencil in Tuesday, because I think I might be starting late next Tuesday, about 5 p.m. something, so I might have a little bit of extra time. So we'll pencil in Tuesday, and if everybody can make it, I'll be so chuffed. I'm so happy you made it this week.
Well, it was nice to get started on the podcast again.
Does that mean you can't do Tuesday?
I cannot do Tuesdays because of my work schedule.
Can do Mondays most of the time then?
Most of the time I can do Mondays.
What about Sundays? You know,
well, I get off work at 5 o'clock in the morning, so my time, and you guys normally record at 2 o'clock. So the real question is, can I drag myself out of the bed to do a Sunday recording?
Okay. Well, Matthew will return.
Bother, mate.
Matthew will return next time Debbie has a Monday off. Yeah. So when
I don't appreciate you turning up.
I should have had Monday off, but I ended up swapping because someone's got a few.
Oh, I see.
I'm a firm believer in democracy. You guys settle, and if I can make it on the show, I'll make it on the show.
Well, as. So it will be Tuesday next week, but you might return to Monday the following week. Is that what we're saying?
Sounds good.
Okay, well, we'll project that into our little schedule. And thank you, everybody, for being on this week. Absolutely delighted. And it was a nice surprise to have Matthew and Rhys. And Rhys has promised to be on more often, which is even better.
Yes.
So,
yay!
Until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Please send in your feedback. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Oh, God.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
I was waiting for that one.
Farewell.
Come on, Ben, we're waiting for you.
Arse.
Oh, Mary's already gone. I was waiting for her. Well, we have a bit of a stop press just after finishing recording. Kirby has sent through his list of favourite stories. So the first Doctor, his order is number 3, Aztecs, number 2, The War Machines, and number 1, Dalek Invasion of Earth. Second Doctor stories, number 3, Enemy of the World, number 2, Mind Robber, number 1, War Games. Third Doctor, Carnival of Monsters, number 3, Time Warrior, number 2, and Inferno, number 1. Fourth Doctor, The Hand of Fear, as the first story he ever saw. It has to be on the list, although he would place Talons of Wen Chiang here, if not influenced by that. Number 2, Pirate Planet, and number 1, City of Death. Fifth Doctor, number 3, Black Orchid, number 2, Enlightenment, and number 1, Cage Vandrazani. Sixth Doctor, number 3, The Two Doctors, number 2, Mysterious Planet, and number 1, Vengeance on Varos. Seventh Doctor, Delta and the Bannermen at number 3, Ghostlight at number 2, and Remembrance of the Daleks at number 1. He's just put the TV movie down for McGann. He's forgotten about the Night of the Doctor. Ninth Doctor, Empty Child Doctor Dances at number 3, number 2, Unquiet Dead, and number 1, Dalek. Tenth Doctor. School Reunion. I really, really like Sarah Jane, you know. Number three. Number two, Silence in the Library, Forest of the Dead. And number one, Blink. 11th Doctor, Crimson Horror. You guys better pronounce that correctly. Number two, 11th Hour. And number one, Pandorica opens the Big Bang and he says, how can a robot catch laryngitis? So he's sort of forgotten about the 12th Doctor there, but never mind. Thank you, Kirby! And a postscript from Kirby for the Series 8 is number three, Mummy. That's Mummy on the Orient Express, by the way. Number two, Robots of Sherwood. And number one, Listen. Thank you again, Kirby.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.